Thank you, Pastor.
I found this great thing.
All right. 1 John again. 1 John 1. Continuing on with our series on personal revival. All right. 1 John chapter 1. And we'll start reading there in verse 4 through the rest of the chapter. It says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And so, we see again, just reiterated here, the purpose of 1 John 1 here, the reason that John is writing this to the children of God is that they might have fellowship with God. But ultimately, if we have fellowship with God, that's what unites all of us together. You look around, all of us come from different backgrounds. Some come from different cultures. Some come, even are members of our church, from different countries. We come from different social statuses. Some of us may have grown up, you know, poor. Some of us may have grown up not necessarily wealthy, but, you know, in an upper middle class family. Some, just all different backgrounds. But the one thing that unites all of us is our common ground in Jesus Christ and walking with him. And so what John is telling the believers here, he said, hey, if you're going to walk in agreement with one another, you're going to have to walk with the Lord. And if you're going to walk with the Lord, you're going to have to be in agreement with one another. Not on every little detail, but on the major things. You think of a wheel, we think of a bicycle, and it's got the hub in the middle, and that being Jesus Christ, if you will. But what happens to those spokes, Anthony, as they go closer to that hub, what happens to those spokes? The spokes that are on, you got the outside part of the wheel, you got the center part of the hub, and those spokes on that wheel, do they get further apart or closer together as they go toward that hub? You get closer together. And so, the closer we get to Christ, as individuals, what happens as a collective whole? We become closer together with one another. But the further we get away from Christ, the further you get away from that hub, not only do you get away from the Lord, and that is the worst tragedy, but we get away from one another. We lose fellowship with one another. And so John says, hey, ultimately, if you want to be in fellowship with one another, you have to be in fellowship with God. And if you want to be in fellowship with God, you have to be in fellowship with one another. And so the first prerequisite that we mention, I may trick you a little, not intentionally, but just a brief review. What is the first prerequisite? Brother Craig Lowe, I think you may get this. You kind of enlightened me on what that word means. There, what is the first prerequisite to having personal revival? You must have life. Vive life there. You must be born again. You must have the Spirit of God living in you. If you're going to be revived, you must be alive at one point. Something that was never alive cannot be made alive again. So the first prerequisite to personal revival is you must know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And then, okay, that was what we mentioned. Now, what was the actual, does anybody remember the first step in personal revival that we talked about from our lessons? Go ahead, Victoria. Acknowledgement and brokenness over sin. So we have to have life, right? And then once we have life, that doesn't mean that we're removed from sin. That's what he tells them here. One that says they have no sin, make God out to be a liar, and they have no fellowship with him. But we must be broken over that sin. And then we must be empty of ourselves. If we're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, then we have to present ourselves as an empty vessel to him. And then we have to focus on fellowship with the Lord and with one another. And that's where we'll pick up here. We just started on this last week in closing, but he talks about light and darkness contrasted here in 1 John. What did we say light does? What? Light reveals, and darkness would do what? The exact opposite? Hides or conceals. And is that not? So, you know, that's a good guide for you and I. We talk about personal revival, just walking with the Lord. You know, the Spirit, God give us His Word. He's give us His Spirit. He's give us a conscience. And you know what? If we do something or don't do something, or if we say something or if we don't say something, if we have to hide that, that's a good indicator that that's not right. That is not walking in the light. If, you know, think about Adam and Eve. We talked about that in Genesis chapter 3 when they took the forbidden fruit and sinned against God. They lost their fellowship with the Lord. And what follows in Genesis chapter 4? You have the story of Cain and Abel. So man not being right with God. And right after that, you have man not being right with his fellow man. A brother killed his own brother. And what did, but in both instances, you remember we talked about it a little bit last week, but what did Adam and Eve do? Did they just go to God immediately and say, hey, you know, Lord, we did what you told us not to do? No. What did they do? They hid. They hid from him, and they tried to make their own coverings, and God didn't accept that covering. And we understand all that, that only coverings, the only covering that God would except is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so in the Old Testament, he gave them the picture of shedding of blood of animals. He gave them coats of skin. But they hid from God. And you know what? If we have to hide something in our personal lives, from our spouse, or from one another, or ultimately trying to hide it from God, then we can. It's a pretty good indicator that we probably shouldn't do that. Or that is sin. We need to make it right with the Lord. Ephesians 5:13 says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So when we do or say anything or do not do or say anything to hide it, we are walking in darkness. We're not walking in the light. The first effect and response to sin is to cover it. Sin always involves us being fake, you know? Sin always involves us being unreal or pretending or excusing ourselves or blaming others. You remember there, without turning there, you all are familiar with the story pretty well. We're just going back to Genesis chapter 3. But Adam and Eve, what did they do? What did Adam do when the Lord confronted him? What was his first response? Of course, he hid. But the Lord come there to him and said, Adam, where art thou? What was Adam's response? He was afraid to come out. He blamed the woman. You know, I played yesterday evening. I played Monopoly with the older girls. And I heard a preacher one time say, you know, that the blame game from Genesis chapter 3 is older than it's the oldest game in the book. It's older than Monopoly, you know. But that's what he did. They, you know, we're real good at that. We see that in Adam. He blamed the woman. And so when the Lord went to Eve, what did she do? She was tempted by the serpent. She blamed the serpent. So nobody's taking accountability for their actions. God had spoken very clearly, very directly, told them what to do, what not to do. And they did exact opposite of what God told them to do. And when God come to them, instead of saying, Lord, we have done what you told us not to, Adam said, no, Lord, it's not my fault. It's that woman thou gavest me. So not only was he blaming the woman, but in essence he was blaming God. Because who gave him the woman? God had. And then Eve, when she was confronted, she said, oh, it was the serpent. But you can never make things right as long as you're excusing it or pointing the finger. I can never make things right. Let me rephrase that. As long as I'm blaming someone else. You know, 95% of our problems is not anyone else. It's not our spouse. It's not another person. It's us. You look in the day and time we live in, how much better would our society be if we just had personal accountability? In the workplace, in our homes, in our churches. You know, somebody does something to us, what do? We want to react in a way sometimes it's not scriptural, but we try to justify that by saying, well, they did this. Well, you know what? That's not going to hold water with the Lord. It didn't hold water with the Lord there with Adam and Eve. He still held them accountable for their actions and their reactions. And He will hold us accountable for our actions and reactions. That is human nature. I remember a couple years ago, just to illustrate this, we at church camp, every year we had a theme. This particular year was the breastplate of righteousness. And so what our goal was to show the kids that righteousness outside of Jesus Christ was impossible. The only way we could be righteous was through Jesus Christ. So what we did, Brother Jonathan Bush, that preached here a couple weeks ago, he wrote the script and kind of came up with the headline, and he had it themed as Mission Impossible, because that's what righteousness is in and of ourselves. It's impossible. It's only possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, he did that, but so what he wanted to do was give these kids an impossible task for the week to do. But what do you think would happen if we gave these kids a task and said, hey, it's impossible for you to accomplish this, but we want you to try? They're not going to. So he had to come up with some way to give them an impossible task, but not let them know that it was impossible so they would strive to accomplish it. So long story short, he came up with this idea and told them that there was a disease within the camp, and that it came from the rocks and minerals in the ground, and it had been known. So any rock that was painted blue in the camp, to not touch it, not mess with it, because that was the rock that contained the disease, and we didn't want to spread it. But later on in the week, a day or two later, what he said, you know, he had this had me dress up in a chemistry outfit, and I put this video out like a chemist and said, hey, we found a cure to it, but that cure's from within that rock that the virus is contained in. And so the only way we can cure this is we have to get that rock, we have to bust it open, get some of the minerals to do that. But they were instructed by the leader of the camp in the beginning to not touch any rock that was painted blue. Well, we specifically marked those rocks. What happened? The kids found it, you know, and they said, hey, we can't mess with it. We can't touch it. But the other kids like, hey, we're not going to win, though, if we don't, you know, whoever finds the cure wins. So they're kind of in a dilemma. They've been instructed not to do something, but the only way to win in their eyes was to get that. So what they did, long story short, one team found it and they busted the rock open. And the other kids started thinking, hey, we've already lost. As soon as we've done this, we were instructed at the very beginning, it's an automatic disqualification. You lose if you do this. So what did they do? They went and found some of the members of the other team. And they said, hey, here, we found this, but we're going to give some of it to you. We'll take some of it. And that way, if we either both win or we both lose. Well, they brought that evening to chapel, and they presented it to the leadership of the camp. And as soon as Brother Jonathan inquired of them, hey, what happened? You know what? The red team started blaming the blue team, and the blue team started blaming the red team. Well, they found it. Well, no, they gave it to us. It was exactly what took place in Genesis. And that's what we do in our own personal lives often, is we blame everyone else. But until we look in a mirror, and you know what that mirror is? Spiritually speaking, what is the mirror? The Word of God. And we took it till we look in that mirror and say, it's me, it's me, it's me. Then we're going to continue down the same path of brokenness and lack of fellowship and walking in light with the Lord. So, that, you know, that blame game. And you, so, self-consciousness, self-centeredness, what's the center of all that? self. It's I. The middle letter in sin, the middle letter in pride is I. It's still about us. So, you know, even when we're just self-conscious, that's sin. That's walking in darkness, you know. Now, we justify that, or we say everybody does it. Well, it doesn't matter. What has the Word of God said on it? Being self-conscious, you know. You know, a low self-esteem is still a form of pride. You say, well, you know, thinking very little of yourself in your mind, but still you're just thinking about self. See, the opposite of that is humility. Humility is not thinking of self at all. It's not thinking low of self. It's not thinking of self at all. And so self-consciousness is a sin that will separate us from God, not relationally, but with fellowship and with one another. And so it has to be, it says here in contrast, John 1:5, God is light. And He's the all-revealing One. And we can have no fellowship. He cannot have any fellowship with the tiniest bit of darkness. When we are in a condition of darkness, we cannot have fellowship with God or with our fellow man because we are not being real. No one can have fellowship with an unreal person. It's a wall of reserve. And so, why am I focusing so much on this? Because I believe that's one thing that's missing in our personal lives and in our churches, is a sense of realness. Now, I'm not justifying sin. We're not saying, okay, it's okay to live like that. But you know what? We still need to be honest with ourselves and honest with the Lord, because if we don't, we're going to continue living that same lifestyle. And so we have to be real with one another. And like I said, we come in here with our shirts and ties, and we should dress our best for the Lord. We should put our best foot forward. But we're really good about not just physically putting on spiritual clothing or, you know, holy clothing. But, you know, we come to church. Somebody says, how you doing? And you don't have to tell somebody everything that's going on in your life. But most of the time, what do? Well, I'm great. And really, we are not. We're a mess a lot of times. Not all the time, but a lot of times. And first and foremost, we need to be honest with God. And that's what He's talking about here. If we say that we have no sin, we make God out to be a liar. It's the same as calling God a liar. And so we need to be honest with Him and with one another. The only real basis for fellowship with God and man is to live that out in openness with both of them. Walking in the light is the opposite of walking in the darkness. Spurgeon said this. It is about walking in the light. In one of his sermons, he mentioned, he was presenting this as walking in the light, and Spurgeon said, it is a willingness to know and be known. So, you know what walking the light simply is? It's a willingness to know who you are, really, and to be known as who you are. To really not put on a front, and to be known for that from amongst others. We must be open to both God and man, and especially to God for conviction, and to know the whole truth about ourselves, you know. That's what, you know, someone said, man's natural response to truth initially is to rebel against it, is to deny it. In our, you know, and even for a Christian, sometimes truth is hard to swallow, isn't it? It's tough. But we must be open to that conviction. We can't deny it. If we want to have revival, personal revival, we want to walk with God, we need to deal with that sin and not hide it or excuse it. And in order to deal with it, what's he say here? To do what? To confess it. And that word, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, means to say the same thing. To say what God says about it. To confess it, be broken over it, and plead the blood of Jesus Christ over whatever that sin may be. And if we will do this, we will become conscious of sin that we never noticed before. This thought can cause us to shrink from walking in the light. We can confess it and deal with it, and it's gone from God's sight and from our hearts. But it's difficult sometimes. You know what will happen? If we take our mask off and we're just real with ourselves, real with God, and real with one another, we'll find ourselves, the more open we are and honest, the more light will reveal other sins in your life. The more God will show you those things. Now, we may tend to stay away from that because of that. But if we truly want to walk with the Lord, then we have to be willing to have ourselves exposed, have that sin in our lives exposed, and to deal with it properly. God not only promised fellowship with Himself here, but with His fellow man. We must be prepared to be made known from God and our fellow man. So as we read the Scripture sometimes, you know, we read the Scripture and it just like slapping us in the face. This is you. This is you. But sometimes what does God use besides His Word? Sometimes what's another avenue that God uses to reveal sin to us? Sometimes God uses other people. You know, that's really what the pastor's duty is. So ultimately, you know what? If I get mad at pastor for pointing out some of my sins in my life, the problem's not with pastor. First and ultimately, the problem's with myself because it's my sin. But secondly, it's not his fault for exposing that or telling me that. Actually, that's an act of love. My problem is ultimately with God because he is God's messenger. And you have people today that, you know, not just in our lost culture, but in churches that don't want to hear truth. They don't want someone telling them what they're doing wrong. We want to hear these things that make us feel better, make us feel good about ourselves. But the duty of the minister is to preach the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit deal with it as He sees fit. And we are to respond to that according to the Scripture. So, one way that God deals with us is through our conscience, through the Word of God, but through other people. And we need to be willing for Him to hold the light to us. We talk about our fellow man, whether it's the pastor, whether it's one another, whether it's our spouse. And we need to be willing to hold that light to their lives. We need to be honest with each other and even challenge one another. Now, this is to be done in love, not condescending, not to say, hey, I can't believe that, Brother Danny, that you're doing this or doing that, but in love to confront one another, to talk to one another about our faults. Turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, most of you are very familiar with this verse. But he says here to confess our faults one to another. And that we're to pray for one another. We're to let each other know where we're struggling. But you know, most of us don't want to do that. We don't want to be open with one another. Why? We're afraid of how we may be treated or the way we may be thought of. But you know what? If we're truly walking with God, if I'm walking with God, if I am right with God, if I have a Christ-like attitude, if Brother Wayne comes to me and says, Brother Josh, I'm just struggling in this area. Now, I'm not to go to him and say, hey, well, that's fine. That's normal. Everybody does that. Or to I'm still to let him know, hey, you know, the Bible does call that sin, but I'm not to look down upon him because you know what? I may not struggle in their area, but there's areas of his life that he may have together that I may be struggling in. And we're to confess that to one another, to pray for one another, and to pray for others. And if we'll do that and really be open with one another, you know what you'll find? You'll find security in that. Not only in being in fellowship with God, but with one another. I'll find that, you know what? Brother Wayne truly loves me. Now, I love him. And not in, you know, an improper way, but in a Christian way to where it's unconditional. It's not based on when you're just doing what you're supposed to or not, but how Christ loves us. And so, it means we are not going to hide our inner selves from those who we are in fellowship with. Not put on fronts. Or whitewash or excuse ourselves. We're going to be honest with others about ourselves. We are willing to give up our spiritual privacy and put our pride away, pocket our pride, and risk our reputations for the sake of being open and transparent with our brethren in Christ. So are we willing? Are you willing? Am I willing to risk my reputation? Really, your reputation is not that important, you know, in one sense. You know, who you really are is very important. But what people think of you could be true, it could be false. You know what's really important? Is what God knows about you. It's a little thing of what Brother Jeff thinks about me or what I think about him. But what does God know about Brother Jeff? What does God know about me? That is what's important. Now, we should guard our testimony for the sake of the Lord. I'm not saying, you know, not to. But it is very risky, if you will, of opening yourself up to one another. Did you want to say something, Janet? You know, in a matter of accommodation, along with what she just said, to the church here, you know, we all should be, as Jana mentioned, we should be our best for the Lord. We should know, you know, we should know as much Scripture as we possibly can learn. We should be the best Christian that we have the capability to be. But we should also be real. When we don't meet up to that standard, when we are not that, you know what the world's really starving for? It doesn't need any more religious people. It doesn't need more religion. The world needs to see Christianity, as Pastor says, fleshed out, lived out. They don't need to see perfection because they can't relate to that. You know, people can't relate to some super spiritual being. You know, we look at some of the characters in the Scripture. And thank God He allows us, not that we relish in their sin or their failures or their faults, but God shows us some of that. Why? To show us that they are a human being. They are a man. What enabled some of these men and women in Scripture to do great things wasn't the superiority of who they were. What was it? It was the person of Jesus Christ living in them and through them, them surrendering themselves, emptying themselves of themselves and being filled with Him, and God did great things with them. You know what? In 2020, God can still do that because God is still God and He still uses people. It's a matter, are we willing to empty ourselves of ourselves and be nothing for the sake of Christ? He still will use broken vessels, imperfect vessels. Why? Because in His sight, if you've been born again, if you truly know Jesus Christ, you're not imperfect. You're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. You're as perfect as you will ever be, because when He sees me, He doesn't see all the failures, all the faults. He sees Jesus Christ in me. And God will use us. But if we keep sitting back saying, well, I can't do that, I'm this, I'm that, or I can't, then you know what? We'll continue to be just a mundane Christian going through the ebbs and flows of life without living the victorious, revived, the Christian life that God has for us to live. But we have to be honest. And I say that in accommodation to the church here. One reason I think God has blessed us so is not because we're the best. There's probably other churches with, maybe some more spiritual people in it than we are. But God sees the realness of the heart of the people. And God will use that. The world needs to see real Christianity lived out. Not perfection. Now, does that mean that we're allocating for sin? I'm not saying, hey, just be who you are and don't worry about it. No. We're talking about walking with the Lord. And if you're going to walk with the Lord, in Him is no darkness. He can have nothing to do with sin. So we're not saying just overlook your sin or excuse it. But to confess it. Make it right and continue to walk with the Lord. That's something I found, your pastor could probably attest to this, that's been very profitable in the mission trips that we've took. Is some of these people see even myself. I have a trouble seeing myself like this, but some of these young guys I talk to at camp and different things, and they see me as up here spiritually speaking because all they do is see me teaching. They see me at my best. But when we go on these mission trips, we're right there in the ditch working on, pouring concrete, doing painting or whatever it may be. They see you in just your real element of where you're at, and they can relate to that person. They can't relate to some super spiritual person, just as we see in Scripture some of these people, and we say, well, I can never be this or be that. No, you can't. But Christ can through us if we will surrender ourselves. Now, He may not use us in that way. But we need to be empty of ourselves to be used in the way that God would have for us to be used. And in order to do that, the mask has to come off and we have to be real. That's ultimately what I'm getting at in all this, is we have to be real with God first and foremost. And that's what He's talking about. If you say that you haven't sinned, you're lying and you're calling God a liar. And God knows better. But you know what the part of the problem is? We're all aware, intellectually, for the most part, everyone in here, I would say almost everyone, if not everyone in here, is aware that God knows everything about them. And because we know that, we've become so mundane to that, so numb to that fact, well, God already knows, that we're not real with ourselves, and we're ultimately not real with God. And that's why I'm encouraging you. I'm going to challenge you. We talk about Sunday school, the school part. What do you have at school sometimes that kids hate? Test, homework. You know, my test, my homework to you, my challenge to you is to pick somebody, whether it's your wife, your husband, a child, a fellow believer, a fellow church member, and to partner with them. And it doesn't mean you have to tell them everything that's going on in your life, but as James says there, confess your faults one to another. To be real with that person. Say, hey, you know what? I'm struggling here. Can you pray for me? And that person to be that with you. Find somebody and be real. Be honest with that person. Open. Share your spiritual life with them. What is God doing or not doing in your life right now? What is going on in your life that shouldn't be there or should be? And you know what? Because sometimes we won't be honest with God because He knows everything about us. Well, guess what? Brother Danny doesn't know everything about me. So as Jana said, as we talk about women keeping their house clean and start to clean it up when people come instead of being real. But if I will be honest and open with Him and share some things that He doesn't know about me and Him, and we pray for one another, what's it say? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. And if we will do that as individuals, I can tell you, based upon the Word of God, not because you will see God start to work in your life and the person's life around you, and that will start to kindle a spark about us. And I'm not trying to give us 3 steps to revival. Only the Lord can do that. But personally, you and I can have it if we choose to pay the cost, if we're willing to pay the cost. Just as I think you're shooting pool, What do you do with that little white cue ball? Matt, what do we do with the cue ball? What's its purpose? Hit the other ball. What? To move the other ball. And you know what? If we will be open and honest with one another, you'll see that God can use us to move this ball. They can use that ball to move us, and we can move one another. And we'll find fellowship with one another, and ultimately, fellowship in Jesus Christ. Are we willing to be open and honest with somebody? And really, put your reputation on the line. You know, I think it gets a little easier as you get older, to some degree, because you mature some, and as Janice said, you drop some of your pride. I forget who it was, and I don't want to botch the quote. I think it was Ron Crisp that said, when you're a teenager, you care what everybody thinks. When you're in your 20s, you don't care what nobody thinks. And when you're in your 30s, you realize that nobody was thinking of you at all anyways. And you know what? That's what we really need to understand. That people really, you know, you're not that big a deal. I'm not that big a deal. But pastor, any of us, there's only one person that's a big deal. You know who that is? Jesus Christ. There's only one hero, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. And if we want others to see Him, we're going to have to be open and honest with ourselves, with God, and with one another. And if we'll do that, Christ will be seen, Christ will be glorified, and Christ will work greatly in our midst. Do we really want revival? Are we willing to pay the cost? It can be humbling. It can be very humbling. But it's the only way, that way of confession and through the cross of Jesus Christ, to have revival, to be at one with Him. As I said, and I'll close, 1 John, the purpose of us to walk in light, that we may have fellowship one with another. And great fellowship comes when we are open and honest with one another. And you know what we'll find? We'll find love. If we are honest with that person, and that person is truly a believer, and they're acting as they should, and we act as we should, you know what you'll find? You won't find someone that's judgmental. You won't find someone that says, I can't believe you do that. You'll find love. You'll find peace. You'll find forgiveness. You'll find kindness. You'll find long-suffering. Fruit of the Spirit lived out in our lives. In closing, my pastor friend that was here a couple weeks ago, Brother Bush, they went over some of these things in their church just at a book study. They were reading a book. They'd read a chapter a week and come back and discuss it every week. Well, they were using the book that I'm going through right now with you with some of these things that I'm gleaning a lot of this material from. And they got to James there, chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another. There at Southside Baptist Church, he said he had about 30 or 40 people showing up on Thursday nights to do this. And he said when they started to, people, they went through this chapter of what we were just discussing, being honest and open and real with people. People started to do that. And you know what? You didn't find a spirit of meanness or hatred and said, well, Brother Wayne, I can't believe you did that. You know what he told me? He said, I've seen people weeping, crying, saying, Brother Wayne, if I'd have been in your shoes, I'd have probably done the same thing, but I thought pretty harshly of you. I said, man, I can't believe you did this or that is what I was thinking. But now that I understand where you were, I probably would have done the same thing or even worse. And the church members come to me when I talk to them, and they told me, they said, Josh, we've been in this church 20 years. We've been in this church 30 years. We've never seen unity like we have now. Why? Because the people first and foremost got honest and right with God. And in doing so, they got right with one another. Are we willing to be open with God? What's going on in your life right now? Not your Sunday suit. Not what, you know, right now, sitting in church, I know where you're at. I know kind of what's in your mind. Brother Wayne, go ahead. That's it. That's what happens when we find out that you're no different than him. All of us are sinners and repentant sinners turning to Christ. And if we will do that, commonality, you'll find unity. Praying with one another. Confessing our faults with one another. So be thinking about that. Be thinking of ways we can maybe even do that in a greater way. That we can grow not just in our knowledge of the Lord, but in our influence to the world through the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would take the words that's been spoken in spite of the speaker, in spite of the weakness on my part and use them for your glory and your honor. Lord, we realize that anything that's said and done that is of good is through you and because of you. So we ask for forgiveness of not practicing many of the things that we're teaching here this morning. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here at New Life Baptist Church. Lord, that you would give us all a greater hunger for you. That we would not be satisfied with anything outside of walking in fellowship and in light with you. That we would be willing to confess our faults one to another and ultimately with you. And we know that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. And we ask for everyone here in attendance in this class and those that may listen in the later, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work in our lives to draw us closer to you, that we'd be used as a light in this dark world. I pray for our nation, Lord, that your will be done with it, and ultimately that your people, that we would see that a nation without God cannot stand, and that we would turn back to you, and if you would see fit to grant mercy upon us, Lord, but ultimately, what's said and what is done, that you would be glorified through it. Be with our services today. Speak through our pastor. Give us open hearts and ears to receive it. Remove all distractions from our mind and let us focus upon you and your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord, we're nothing outside of you. And we praise you for what you are and what you have done there on the cross of Calvary. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.